Apes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Tapes and Scowls is your weekly go-to for reviews of movies that two guys have watched in some way or another at some point in the year.
Confirmed.
That's it. That's it right there. I think it's a cool idea. Like, I know when we talked about doing this, and I still think the idea is probably the most novel thing. Because it's just like, what if we just review the movies we watch? Why are we watching them? I don't know, because I felt like watching them. I don't friggin' know. So, like, why do you watch a movie? Like, I think that's such an interesting notion.
Right.
I saw a little thumbnail of it while I was scrolling through a streaming service. It's also scary to think that that was not a super popular reason to pick a movie when we started this podcast.
That's true. And it's funny you bring that up, because I'm assuming I'm going second. I absolutely wanted to get a better movie onto the podcast, but the description for this one was so bizarre, I had to know.
Right. And it's really compelling. Like, sometimes you watch a movie because of word of mouth. Yep. Sometimes you watch it because you see a commercial. Sometimes you see just a little side little blurb on a website you're on. You're like, oh, or somebody reviews it on social media that you're fond of, or you catch a YouTube review or whatever.
It's a director you like.
Yeah, exactly. It's just something draws you
Joe
into the
Carnahan's
movie.
Back.
Yeah, it's a lot of times for me, it's mood driven.
Sure.
Like, Sam and I will go back and forth probably for half the runtime of a movie in a lot of cases and just go, I don't feel like watching that. I don't feel like watching this. I don't want to watch a sad movie. Well, I don't want to watch a horror movie.
Right.
But right there, I'm just like, is there any other kind?
I think it's Police Academy.
Police Academy.
That's
4.
It. That's right. Just 4.
Citizens on Patrol. Is that 4?
I think it might be.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've watched any Police Academy. Well, I grew up on that cartoon, though. Do you remember the cartoon?
I do remember the cartoon and the toys that came out
the
for
toys
the cartoon.
The toys were great.
They were like the Ghostbuster toys, kind of.
Yes. They were very much in that scale and like size.
That's great.
Yeah, very cool. But this movie came my way because I saw a review of a movie reviewer I'm fond of on social media. And I was like, oh, wow, this sounds way up Sam's alley. So I told her about it. It's a movie that has, I believe, just ended its theatrical run at the time of recording. You might still be able to catch it in a theater here or there. So I was like, you should check this out. It might be cool to check out once it comes out of theaters. And Sam looked, and it was one of those ones you could also watch on streaming.
Nice.
As it's in the theater. So she was like, I will go through the hoops of whatever purchasing it, because it just makes more sense for a couple bucks to just go back to watch it whenever you want, as opposed to rent it for like, I think the rental was like $7 and buying it was like 10 or something.
Sure.
It's like, sure, take my $3 extra so I can watch it again if I like it.
Right.
So it seemed to be up her alley. So she watched the trailer. She was like, yeah, I'll pay the price of admission to watch this forever at home. So we watch 2024's The Wild Robot.
Wild Robot. I've seen the trailers for this.
Yeah, and we watched this on November 12th of 2024. It's 1 hour and 42 minutes, a family adventure film directed by Chris Sanders, who I did a movie of his not too long ago, one called Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, pretty cool. Your cast on this one is Lupita Nyong'o, Pedro Pascal, and Kit Connor.
Okay.
Amongst many other people, which I had to annoyingly keep stopping the movie to go, is that this person? Is this Ving Rhames? Yes. Is this Bill Nye? Yes. Like, it's just, the cast is apeshit.
I love that Ving Rhames got in there.
Matt Berry is in this as a beaver. Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Yeah, movie's awesome. Your summary here is, after a shipwreck, an intelligent robot called Roz is stranded on an uninhabited island. To survive the harsh environment, Roz bonds with the island's animals and cares for an orphaned baby goose.
Aww.
A gosling.
A gosling?
Yeah.
Gosling?
So she ends up having a bit of an accident running into a bear, and she ends up running over a lot of the family that was this goose's.
Aww.
The other eggs and the mother goose end up passing. There's a lot of death in this movie, by the way.
Interesting.
Yeah, for a kid's fair, it's pretty like harsh, but it treats it very well. Like, they're always off screen. There's always like a sad moment, and they're always treated with
respect.
Yeah, stakes and reverence, and it's not anything that's just glazed glazed over or ignored or gratuitous in any way.
Okay.
So she finds this thing and she's like, doesn't know it. She's a robot. So she spends the first like 20 minutes of the movie trying to understand the animals. So eventually she figures out that she can program herself to learn like their barks and yips and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
So she figures out how to do that because she's like a helper robot. It's basically like an Amazon device, which I won't say the name of around here because it might go off if I do. Right. It's basically one of those that can walk around, move, and start to do more things for you. So it learns how to speak the languages of the animals so it can connect and speak back to them, which is pretty wild.
That's pretty smart.
And so she realizes that there is, and her big thing is she needs to have a purpose. Mm-hmm. So she's given objectives to solve, right? Like it's pretty obvious. Like, I am a robot. What do you want me to do? Go wash my car. Okay, I have washed the car. Like that's what the robot wants. So it wants a series of things to do because it's like essentially a home helper bot.
The Meeseeks from Rick and Morty.
Pretty much. Like it needs a command to go do and a task to accomplish, right?
Okay.
Watch the house. Okay. Whatever it may be. So she ends up realizing she needs to do some things for this gosling. She needs to make sure it can learn to eat, it can learn to swim, and it can learn to fly so that it can do all those things. So she decides on her own to kind of like reprogram herself slightly, but she gives herself that objective.
Okay.
So she has to work with Pedro Pascal's character, who plays a fox who tries to eat the gosling initially. Mm. And he's kind of like realizes this robot can probably help him out. And so they like start to learn how to survive. And so like the robot builds a shelter. It's really cool to see how this robot over time starts to actually begin to go beyond just completing a goal, but actually care about the outcome of the goal.
Oh, that's fun.
So in a way, the robot learns to actually care. And then eventually care leads into it begins to learn how to love.
There you go.
It's really a good movie. The animation's beautiful. The character designs are great. The music is top notch. It's okay. So lovely, inspirational, sad, and depressing. It's really, really good. So she has to work really hard to get this gosling up and to where it starts to go into adolescence. And then it runs into other goslings and realizes that it like they treat him like kind of a freak because he doesn't have a mom. Mm. He's like learned how to swim kind of weirdly because the robot has showed him how to swim based on programming for like mostly people to swim. So it kind of uses its wings more than its feet to swim.
Okay.
And so they make fun of it and like it feels bad and ends up getting into a fight with the robot. He's like, you're not my mom. And then finds out that the mother was like killed. His mother, his actual mother was killed in an accident that the robot was responsible for and ends up resenting the robot.
Fair.
And then they end up over time coming back together. She has Ving Rhames, who plays a hawk, teach him how to fly.
Nice.
And so he teaches him how to fly. Bill Nye is the old goose who flies the flock back and forth every year for migration. And he ends up kind of befriending the gosling and he ends up like flying the flock out and everything. So it's really kind of cool. And then they come back, they run into trouble, come back at the end of the season. And now that the robot has nothing to do, they never eventually got to like tell each other, you know, how they feel. Like the goose never got to forgive the robot and the robot never got to tell the goose that she, like, you know, in fact has grown to love him. So it was really cool in that regard. And it's like, you're like waiting, you're like, what's going to happen? So she ends up like, you know what? I'm going to send a signal out to the company that created me. So it's like a distress signal to find me.
Okay.
And then that happens and the goose comes back and there's a really harsh winter and the robot has to like try to help everyone. And the, but also it sent out this distress signal. So eventually they come to collect the robot and the robot gets all of the animals on the island through the winter. They all survive this insane winter. She goes out and individually rescues everyone.
Nice.
And then they end up, the things come to collect her. And then the animals are like, you know what? We're not going to let this robot go. She means too much to us. And at the end, she realizes that the robot realizes that she's taught all the animals how to coexist and love each other. So she's kind of done everything that she can do. And the goose doesn't want her to go, of course. And he's like, but you can't go. You're my mom. And she's like, I love you and I'll always be there. And so he goes where they found a little spot to stop on their migrations and she's there working. And so he goes and visits her every That's migration. Nice. It's like such a lovely telling of like teaching how these things evolve as if you were teaching it to somebody who did not understand human nature.
Sure. Yeah.
It breaks it down so beautifully. Like I just can't say enough good things about this film. I thought it was going to be good. It was fucking great.
That's
like,
awesome.
It was so good. IMDb gave it an 8.3 out of 10.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wait, that's like Shawshank levels.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm telling you, this movie is insanely good.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 231 critics, 97%.
Whoa.
Audience score, 5,000 plus, 98%. What? This is like fucking Paddington 2.
Yeah, this is wild.
This is nuts. Like, this is, like, I would say that this is on a level with the first Paddington for me.
Right.
And it is above Paddington 2 and Puss in Boots 2.
Wow.
Whatever the hell that last witch is too. Second of the Puss in Boots sequel spinoffs, which is an absurd like children's movie collection of stuff. But I assure you, all these movies fucking slay. They're all so good.
They do.
I gave this a 9.5 out of 10.
Wow.
This is Sam's new favorite movie. She gave it 10 with 3 exclamation points.
10 with 3 exclamation points.
She loved it. It was really good. Like, cannot recommend this movie highly enough. It is awesome.
Dang. That movie's going to make me feel things.
Oh, for real. It hits you in the feels many times, and it is lovely.
Wow. You made me follow that?
That's what I got for you.
Holy shit.
The Wild Robot.
Well, I guess if I gotta follow that, it's a good thing it's this piece of shit.
You just gotta go in a whole different direction.
We're about to.
What's the beauty of the podcast.
I agree, because I'm doing a movie called Il était une fois le diable, which translates very poorly to Devil's Story.
Oh.
Oh my God, this is great that this ended up on this one.
This is very Trolls and Henry, isn't it?
It very much is. This is from the best year of the 80s, 1986.
You're damn right.
And I watched it on the 21st of November, 2024. It's an hour 16. It is regular ass horror and nothing else.
And nothing else.
Your director is Bernard Lanois.
Lanois.
He liked making bad movies as well.
Oh.
Starring Veronique Renault, Marcel Portier, and Catherine Day. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine, coming in clutch at the end.
Holy shit. Your summary. This is not the summary that I saw that made me choose the movie.
Okay.
This is IMDb's summary, which is a deformed man living with his mother in the countryside roams the woods killing indiscriminately. A couple spend the night nearby, and the wife goes through a nightmarish experience involving a black horse, a mummy, and a deformed man.
That's the usual fare.
The description that I saw on, I want to say it was Prime, was there's a Nazi mutant and his gypsy mother who have to fight a possessed horse and a mummy.
Holy crap.
And that's
compelling.
Screams that I need to know more.
Yeah. No, that description alone, it's like, okay, cool. Just take my time away.
Take it.
Yep.
This movie is the weirdest thing. It is not good.
Okay.
But it has redeeming qualities.
I love that.
The effects in this movie are awesome.
Oh, that's way cool.
So 1986, this is a French movie, clearly. Well, maybe not as clearly with my translating, but...
Could be several things.
We're going with French.
French.
I like the effects. The beginning of the movie is the mutant who is in like a rundown Nazi uniform kind of thing.
Okay.
He is he looks very like Chunk from Goonies. He's very like that kind of a look to him.
Sloth?
Okay. From Goonies, yes.
He looks like a child in a Hawaiian shirt.
He looks like a child in a Hawaiian. I promise you he does. That would be fun.
No,
he looks kind of like Sloth. And he is walking around the countryside. And if you just happen upon him, he will murder you. That is completely correct.
Okay.
Because they make that very clear right away. And I'm like, well, I hope this movie does a little more than this.
Hey, you guys. You're dead.
Like, literally somebody like, oh, my tire popped. And like, he'll just walk up and stab them. The effect of the stab is kind of cool because he'll just let them slowly bleed out. So they're twitching around and they're really pumping the blood, which is red blood. It's not pink blood and the things we've seen in other horror movies. It's just squirting the whole time. So like they knew what they were doing, and
right. That's
probably about it. They do cool gross out effects throughout the whole movie though.
It's the 80s.
So the mutant ends up going back home with his mother. His sister apparently has passed away, and the gypsy mother is going to bury her in the graveyard. This other woman and her husband are passing through on like a work trip. Their car breaks down. They stay the night at this very stupid looking manor. They're like, oh, people just come through here all the time. And like, it's very cliche, dumb things.
Right.
The horse... horse comes up next.
Okay.
Is this black mare, and it just keeps running by the manor all hours of the night, and the dude's like, I'm gonna get me that horse. I'm tired of its crap. And it like he goes out into the field and just starts shooting his shotgun around.
What the hell?
His shotgun has infinite ammo. It is the funniest thing in the world. Okay. I probably lost weight laughing at this. It's to the point where like they would film the horse running around and it's the wrong time of day.
Amazing.
To where it's almost pitch black where the guy's just like, I see you, horse. Kapow. I'm going to get you, varmint. Kapow.
I love that.
It just keeps going on. It's amazing. The story of the mummy is told that there was some wreck. They would cause shipwrecks, so they, you know, wreck the ships and steal all the stuff. And they show that in a flashback. And there was a ship that had cargo from Egypt. It's very bad. They show, they make the ship come about and the mummy falls out. And the mummy looks cool, though. It looks like a traditional mummy.
Right.
He ends up, they're basically the wife in this scenario from earlier, ends up following the deformed guy to the thing. She feels like she's drawn to it. The horse is very much drawing her to it. She looks very similar to the daughter who passed. There's a lot of like weird callback things. So it's a very art film, but like a shitty horror art film. She ends up punching like the mummy, like tearing at his face. And I like the effect they did for it. I didn't see it coming. So he's basically got a skull face underneath.
Right.
And he starts like vomiting this very blue liquid, which doesn't look the correct color of anything he should be vomiting. But right. I just like that it was different than blood because it's like he's been encapsulated all this time.
Right. It's like it could be like embalming it jellies could be, and goo that they put in there or something.
I think that's what they were going for. So
blue
I
was a weird choice.
Like teal blue.
Oh, weird.
It was very weird. But
he drank a lot of antifreeze.
He loves it. He got to stay warm on those long Egyptian nights.
That's right.
Kids, don't do that. This movie gives me everything I wanted, as bad as it is. The horse shows up and fights the mutant.
Okay.
And the reason this is so is strange to watch is because they're clearly in the same shot. The horse is kicking its back feet at the actor. And storyline-wise, it kicks the mutant in the head and splits open his head, and his head is dangling over his eye, squirting blood.
Okay.
Which looks cool, because the effects are good in this movie for its time. But he doesn't die. He gets knocked out, and he passes out for a while, but he comes back. But, like, this actor is so fucking close to a real horse.
That is scary.
It's very, very terrifying. And that's basically the movie. Like, we don't need to know who wins in this scenario. We all win in this scenario.
It sounds like we either all win or all lose in this one.
That's right. I gotta tell you, I wasn't too upset that I watched this.
I'm glad. No, that
but
sounds
it is
fun.
Awful.
No, that's
it can
okay.
be both.
Yeah, you're allowed to, there's allowed to be that line of good, bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a tough one to grade, but I'm going to give it my best.
Please.
My God.
Your struggles are the audience's enjoyment.
That's right. Well, IMDb is the only one who took the journey with me.
Okay.
They gave it a 3.8.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato Critics, there was one critical score in, but not enough to get it a score. And then the same for the audience, less than 50 actual people.
Okay.
Some of those, if you look at them, are quite funny. But I gave it a 3, largely because it's just bizarre and not shot well. But, like, damn, the effects are cool. And, man, I guess it makes sense. I guess it's a thing.
If you wanted to fight a horse, you did it.
They did the look, as advertised by that description on Amazon, I got everything I wanted.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well written.
That's right. So, go possessed horses. Yay.
Go possessed horses.